You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
As we embark on a brand new week here in Eastern Iowa, welcome aboard from the Eakin Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great to have you with us as a Gym Class sets sail on our one-hour cruise through the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk about the big events of the weekend. Of course, here in Iowa, it was the Iowa Corn 350. If you were there, we're going to ask your opinion. What'd you think about it? If you were a first-timer, if you were a repeat customer over in Newton, going to talk about that. Ryan Blaney winning that particular race last evening, so we will talk about that. A memorable United States Open Golf Championship as well to look back on, and everything else from the weekend. Love to have you interact with us, and we do so via the text line at 319-366-1600. Again, that's 319-366-1600. You can also get in touch with us via the phone line, 319-366-1600, the digits for that particular number. As we take you through a hot, sticky Monday here in Eastern Iowa. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joining me in a moment. Isaac Gelsing on the other side of the glass, our producer, here today and every day, most every day, here on the Gym Class program. And thank you for tuning us in today on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker on this 30th anniversary, one of the strangest sports days that we have ever had, back on June the 17th, 1994. We may touch upon that before we hit 4 o'clock today as well. They did a 30 for 30 on it. It was so bizarre. Mark, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, Scott, Isaac, everyone out there, and hail Slovenia, huh, Isaac?
Yeah, it had been a pretty boring tournament up until today, really. You got Romania and Slovenia both kind of pulling off little upsets there, so pretty fun.
Way to go, Romania.
Yeah, Romania was far more surprising to me than any other results so far. I did think Albania had Italy on the ropes there early, but they couldn't hold on. That would have been fun too.
Every time I hear anything about Albania, I think of the great Cheers episode with Coach, when they were when Coach and Sam were trying to get their GEDs, and they were going through history, and Coach made up a song. You remember things via songs and music, and he made up this whole thing about Albania. So I will never forget that their chief export is chrome. 319-366-1600 as we take you through a warm Monday here in Eastern Iowa. And a lot to get to, Mark, and we start with the and you and I were talking about this earlier today. If there is not a bigger event in the state of Iowa in 2024, I don't know what it would be if there is one. Obviously, you have the Iowa-Iowa State football game each and every year. That's an annual. The Drake Relays are an annual. The Knoxville Nationals, which ties in, by the way, with this, that is an annual affair as well. No Major League Baseball this year in the state of Iowa, but we did get the first ever NASCAR Cup Series race last night at the Iowa Speedway outside of Newton. And Ryan Blaney, the defending NASCAR Cup champion, gets his first victory of the year. He is now into the playoffs. Was looking good anyway via the point system to get into the playoffs, but now he is assured of getting in there, which is a great story because Ryan Blaney, son of Dave Blaney, who visited Iowa many, many times, former winner of the Knoxville Nationals, about 30 minutes south of the Newton Speedway, and a former winner as far as that event back in, I think, the late 90s, 97, I want to say. I think he won it, but the Buckeye Bullet was very, very good in a sprint car before he himself went into the Cup Series. But full house looked good on TV, and Ryan Blaney, a very popular winner because his mom is from nearby Sheraton, Iowa.
Yeah, you always love that Iowa angle, right? And listen, the real winner is Iowa and the Iowa Speedway. This is what Rusty Wallace envisioned. This is what drivers have wanted for a while. And NASCAR has come and gone to Iowa. I have to believe with that kind of crowd, it will return, if not next year, for many years to come. We shall see about that. But the race itself had peaks and valleys to me. Like many sporting events, I had trouble watching the whole thing end to end. But in the end, it was pretty good. The only thing it's not about Iowa necessarily. I don't like, as a above average novice fan, I don't like the short track races. I mean, you had 14 cars on the lead lap with quote unquote a chance to win. And in reality, there was only three, maybe four, but that's the one thing I don't necessarily like about short tracks. But by and large, it was Kyle Larson's race to win, and he got knocked out, more than halfway through.
Yeah, he did. Was not real happy, although he didn't go off on Daniel Suarez, who did make contact in a three-wide situation just ahead of the start-finish line. Kyle Larson had the best. He and Ryan Blaney had the two best cars out there. And you can pretty much say that each week as far as Kyle Larson is concerned, no matter what he's driving, if it's a cup car or a dirt late model or a swing sprint or a sprint car, whatever the case may be. What was cool was that Kyle Larson went down Saturday night, the night prior to that, and raced down at Knoxville. I thought that was really cool. And he got taken out-ish, if you will. Had a few things to say. Didn't get real animated afterwards, but he's already in as far as the playoffs are concerned. I'm with you. I thought it had peaks and valleys. It was a racetrack. A lot of people were concerned about the repave. I think that came through with flying colors. It did lead to some tire degradation a little bit. There were some tire issues, some tire problems all through the weekend because they were kind of trying to cheat the track a little bit as far as going soft. As far as the tire pressures are concerned, a little bit more camber into it, if you know what that means, as far as a race fan is concerned. But they were trying to go fast. They were going fast for a short track. And the racing itself, I thought, was above average as far as a NASCAR race is concerned. William Byron was catching Blaney at the end. I don't think Ryan Blaney was really pushing it too much at the end. Won by 0.7 seconds. It was a comfortable margin, not a big time margin. I was still waiting in the last 20 laps for the debris caution to come out. That never did. It never happened. So, like I said, restarts were very, very exciting. And I'm with you. I think that NASCAR is going to be back. Now, California is not going to be ready next year. So I think Iowa is going to get another date for the Cup Series next year. After that, remains to be seen. And the whole rub is this, Mark, because you've got Iowa. Yes, it looks great on television with the temporary stands that they have built in there. You've got 50,000 people, and it looks great. There were a lot, I'm sure, of folks as with some of the sponsorship there that got in with freebies, but that's the way it always is. Would you rather have a full house and 50,000 or a half full crowd with a track that holds 150,000? That's, I guess, that's what NASCAR is going to have to think about.
I have to imagine the fans are going to play a big part in this, but I don't know. As far as Larson goes, your comments about that, Larson, a three wide on that kind of track is kind of risky, and Larson was in the middle, and he kind of acknowledged after the race maybe that wasn't the best choice. Maybe he pushed it a little bit and made the wrong decision at the wrong time. But that remains to be seen. As far as returning, I think between California and I don't think Kansas is as big an issue as some people believe it to be. Maybe you feel differently.
If you were there, what did you think about the weekend, the evening, getting in, getting out, all the festivities surrounding the first ever cup race in the state of Iowa at the Newton Speedway? There were cup races prior to that. The last one, by the way, in the 1950s at the Mississippi Valley Fairgrounds in Davenport, at the Davenport Speedway. So this was not the first ever NASCAR foray into the state of Iowa. What did you think? 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you here today. And yes, 6429 also likes that scene. Albania, it borders on the Adriatic. Very good. Yes, 1345, the Hawkeye car brought out the first caution, although it was punted. It spun 5 minutes into the race. Actually, Corey LaJoie came back and had a pretty good night in the Hawkeye Gainbridge car. So good and bad moments as far as that car is concerned. And it was interesting to see sponsorship from Iowa companies on several of the cars. And, you know, you have that wherever you go. It was great to see Joey Gase had a nice run in the Xfinity Series on Saturday afternoon, Mark. That was good to see.
In the 16th, really good run for him.
Very good run. And it, like I said, I agree with you as far as Larson, but he had a fast car. He saw an opening, and he tried to go three wide, and Suarez lost it a little bit and hit Larson, which caused him to hit Denny Hamlin, who had a race to forget last night. Was never in it, went a lap down very, very early in the festivities and really never got things rolling. It was a horrible night again for Kyle Busch. He left the race early, and he is on the outside looking in right now as far as the Cup playoffs are concerned. Playoffs? 319-366-1600. If you were there, what did you think? Good show put on by NASCAR. Would you go again next year? What are your thoughts on everything that went on over the weekend? Love to hear from you. Again, 319-366-1600. It was the first NBC / USA broadcast of the year as well. And that was a little bit refreshing to see because, I mean, I'm not a Fox killer as far as the way that they broadcast races. There are some things I really wish they would do differently. NBC tried some things differently last night. They followed two of the race teams basically from start to finish as far as the race is concerned. That was a new and different approach to broadcasting a race. I thought it gave a little bit of insight there. Just kind of interested to hear what people have to say that were there. Maybe they're still there in traffic. I don't know. I'm kidding. I do know a couple of people that texted me after the race that said it took them less than 10 minutes to get out last night after the race, that they did a very, very good job of traffic. And listen, they've done this before. I mean, it's been two decades plus for the Newton Speedway over there. They've had that many people for the IndyCar races as well. The first couple of Xfinity races got that big of a crowd also. Actually, less than that because they didn't have the temporary seats back then, Mark. But they know how to get people in and out over in Newton.
Yes, they sure do. And as far as watching a race goes, whatever network it is, I want to know. I want to see the leaderboard frequently. And you did last night. Scroll through down to 35. And whatever, and I want to see that frequently, much like in golf. I don't just want to see the top five guys. I wish they'd scroll through scores more and more. That's the big attraction for me.
319-366-1600. I agree with you, and I think it's a plus as far as the broadcast is concerned to put that scoring bug, if you will, on the screen like that. They do it a little different in NASCAR, obviously. NBC. And we will get to golf coming up in a little bit here. I wanted to get to the local angle here first with the happenings in Newton last night. But if you made an entire weekend of it, and there were a lot of people that did, I thought it looked fantastic as far as the television eye is concerned. When they flew over it with the drone, I thought it looked big time out there.
Yeah, I thought so too. And as far as Blaney goes, they did a lot of reporting on, what was it, 80 friends and family that were there.
Correct.
And showed them tailgating and showed them in the stands. And you mentioned the Iowa angle to that. And it's quite a lot of people there for that. And, you know, maybe there were other drivers with the same story, but I doubt it.
Well, we had Joey. Sammy Smith, as an Iowan as well, was in the Xfinity race and finished in the top 10 on Saturday as well. He's from Des Moines and raced here locally in Cedar Rapids for a couple of years at the Hawkeye Downs Speedway when he was very, very young. He's still young. I can't believe how young these guys are, and they just keep getting younger and younger. Guys and gals, if you will. 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. It is definitely a young person's sport as far as racing is concerned.
And a small person's sport. I don't think I'd fit into a NASCAR.
There's a reason a lot of drivers are not over 6 feet tall. Now, that is not always the case. Not always the case. There have been a couple of NASCAR drivers that have been over 6 feet tall. There have been several IndyCar drivers, and that's even tougher. Because it's a smaller cockpit that are over 6 feet tall. The late Justin Wilson was 6 feet three and had to have a special seat to put him down lower as far as his race car is concerned. But like I said, I thought it was a very, very good showing by the Iowa Speedway. I thought it was a very good showing by the state of Iowa. And kudos to everybody that went over. I have not heard or read anything that was crazy out of line that people are not going to go back if NASCAR returns next year. I think they will return next year. Going to be probably in the same ballpark. Father's Day weekend, I would imagine. We'll have to wait and see. But certainly Father's Day did not conflict with people going to Newton, and I would imagine that they're going to have a sellout crowd for both of those races again coming up next year. 323, coming up on 323, we're going to get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit, and you'll update us, Mark, on what's happening in Omaha, a weird and wacky first weekend of the College World Series. Let's just say that.
Yeah, it's so much fun to watch, but game in progress now, an elimination game between Florida and North Carolina State. Florida leading 5-4 there. Other news, Mookie Betts fractured his left hand on a hit-by-pitch, and he will be out for the Dodgers for 2 months or more. Also in baseball, Gerrit Cole is coming off injury and will return Wednesday. The Yankees ace will face Baltimore. The 2025 Iowa wrestling recruiting class got a boost by the commitment of Ohio Twins, and each top 100 recruits, Ty and Jarrell Miller. They are projected to be 184 and 197 pounders. Also in the quote-unquote Iowa camp, A.J. Ferrari made a lot of news about a year or so ago. The 2021 NCAA champion is moving on from Iowa and opening his recruiting process. And now as we segue to golf after the break, the United States Olympic golf team has been set. No Bryson DeChambeau, I'm sorry. The four players from the United States will be Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Wyndham Clark, and Colin Morikawa.
A lot of consternation and hand-wringing after yesterday. And that was a part of it. There's a lot to unpack as far as the world of golf is concerned, and we'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. And that was an Emels Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emels on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're open at 4 o'clock today, and you can check out their entire menu online at emelshideaway.com. Fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining room, plus catering, online ordering, and curbside pickup and delivery. And again, you can find more by going to their website or our website at kgymradio.com or emelshideaway.com. 3:25, we'll take a break, come back, and we will talk about the United States Open from Pinehurst when we return. You're listening to a Monday edition of the Gym Class, coming your way here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. It's going to be sunny, hot, and humid with temperatures in the low 90s. The heat index values will be in the mid to upper 90s for this afternoon and could be some spots where it's around 100. We are going to have the warm conditions continuing overnight with temperatures just dropping down into the low 70s. Tomorrow, still sunny, hot, and humid once again with the chance for some scattered showers and storms late tomorrow night into early Wednesday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
It's almost weird how much you have in common and how hard you make each other laugh. After a lifetime of peopling, this one came along and that's it. Game over. Now you just have to find the ring and figure out how to ask. The Dickens family can help. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers has been helping proposers choose engagement rings for 70 years. There isn't a thing about diamonds, settings, styles, or metals they can't tell you. And if you think after thousands of happy couples they're so over it, you would be so wrong. At Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, your engagement is as exciting to them as it is to you. Well, okay, almost. It's a great day at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers when they know they've helped someone find the perfect sparkler. And with 7 decades of experience, they've got a heck of a track record with getting a yes. So, if proposing is on your mind, see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and talk to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Scott Unash for your neighborhood Quick Star. And as I stopped on by on my way down to the station here to pick up a delicious chicken sandwich with some American cheese on it, notice that all over your neighborhood Quick Star, they've got all kinds of signage for the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab. Summer just got a whole lot cooler with Quick Star and with Coca-Cola. And they are going to be giving away, Quick Star is, a total of $500,000 this summer with 10 weekly winners, one winner per week of $25,000 each, and one final week winner of $250,000. You can play the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab Pull Tab game daily in your Quick Rewards app to earn chances to enter the weekly winner drawing. So all you need to do is sign up for that Quick Rewards app and go to quickstar.com/sweepstakes for full details.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
If one game can get you into the Hockey Hall of Fame, this was it.
Hobey Baker starred for Princeton University in hockey and football and remains the only athlete in both the college football and hockey halls of fame.
The whole atmosphere was electric when he was playing.
You couldn't ignore him, this kind of blonde Adonis.
As famous as he was in his day, he is little remembered now. 30 for 30 podcast presents Searching for Hobey Baker. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly. Hey, John, why so glum?
I just got let go. The company's downsizing. This is the third time in the last 2 years. I'm done with this.
Have you thought about My Computer Career? I've heard they can train you for a career in IT in just a few months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI. And you don't need prior training or experience. Now that's a recession-resistant career.
Wow, thanks. I'll check them out.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. Mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
Right about straight up 3:30. Back with you on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac Gall with you here. Don't forget, from 4 until 6, it'll be Spencer on Sports with Spencer Wagon, and he will take you through that two-hour span here, talking local and national sports with you. And then we've got potentially the final game of the NBA season coming up tonight, as it will be the Game 5 of the NBA Finals between Dallas and Boston. Boston leading that series 3-1. They are back at TD Ameritrade Garden, and they will go for the Lawrence O'Brien Trophy coming up tonight. Tomorrow night, chance for the hockey season to wrap up, as it will be Florida going for the Stanley Cup. And they lead it 3-1 over the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton finally broke through over the weekend on Saturday night. And they took it to a Game 5, so they fly across country one more time down to South Florida to take on the Florida Panthers. Have both of those at 6:30. Basketball tonight at 6:30. Hockey tomorrow night at 6:30. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is the phone line as well, if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call. Gene and Vinton, we will get to your point coming up in just a little bit. But a very, very theatrical finish to the United States Open Golf Championship yesterday, Mark. Whether you are Team Rory or Team Bryson, you're Team Bryson, you're a lot happier than you are if you're Team Rory today. But arguably, the two faces, I think, of golf, certainly of their tours, going head-to-head, mano-a-mano. I have not looked yet as far as the TV numbers are concerned with how they came out yesterday, but I got to think they were big, 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 big. And it was great theater coming down the stretch all the way to the last shot. And Bryson DeChambeau, I guess the people's champ, say yes, say no. He gets the second major in the U.S. Open in his career.
Yeah, and I suppose the closest thing to what we saw yesterday would have been maybe Scheffler and McIlroy, the number one and number two players in the world, going mano a mano. But Scheffler barely made the cut and wasn't a factor, and instead it was DeChambeau. And really a mixture of, which player the crowd was rooting for. And I thought it was quite a juxtaposition among the fans, because here you have Bryson from the United States, but plays on the LIV Tour, and, you know, a huge YouTube and social media presence. And you have Rory from Northern Ireland, who has been loyal to the PGA Tour and has been as big a spokesperson as it has had. The chants of USA, USA never were going to be directed towards Rory, but they were loud and vociferous with Bryson. And I don't know that he's really transformed himself, but he's really embraced the fan and his responsibility to the sport, whether he plays on the LIV Tour or not, whether he's going to be on the U.S. Olympic team or not. His shot on 18 from the bunker, I read today, Scott, I don't know if you saw this, whoever gauges such things gave him a 1.7% chance getting up and down from 55 yards on the 18th. Those were much graver odds than Rory making a downhill left-to-righter on the 18th hole, which he missed. And kind of came down to that.
It did come down to that. Came down to the 18th hole, per se, and only because Rory missed two putts. It was interesting that Rory was perfect for the week. Perfect for the week. From inside, I believe they said inside 10 feet, until he had two that he really needed. Now, I'll say this. The one on 16, yes, he missed. He missed it brutally. He pulled it, and that was one that, you know, it happens every once in a while. You've done it. I've done it. We've all done it. Who's played golf? It's infuriating. You want to basically wrap that putter around your head, but you don't do it. The one on 18, it was tough. That was a downhill four-footer mark that was outside the hole, and that was a tough one. I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass on that one. Bryson DeChambeau's bunker shot, I don't know where they get 1.7%. I don't know how they calculate that. I don't want to know how they calculate that. Anyone that plays the game of golf knows that the toughest shot in golf, whether you are a 20 handicap or a pro, is the long 50-yard-plus bunker shot. And for Bryson DeChambeau, especially with the way his clubs are. If you know Bryson, they're all the same length. It doesn't matter if it's a pitching wedge or a driver, they are the same length. And at one point, that was kind of holding him back a little bit with his short game. He's really worked on it. He has improved it. Yes, he can bomb it farther than anybody on the planet, but he also has a very good short game, and that was proven by that particular shot that he hit on the 72nd hole. Hit it to about, 4 or 5 feet or so, and then knocked home the putt, and the party was on.
You know, as far as Rory goes, you can purchase all the clubs you want. You can purchase any putter you want, and that's not going to guarantee making a 3 to 4 footer, whether it's against your buddy for a little Nassau or the club championship, let alone the U.S. Open. We know what happens there. And Rory took some criticism for leaving the grounds and not responding to reporter questions. Can you imagine the disappointment and what was going through his head? What is a reporter going to ask him? And I've been a reporter for many, many years. I don't know what I would ask Rory. You know, what happened there? Well, we saw what happened there. He didn't play enough break, and he missed. And on 16, he just blew that putt inexplicably. And then as far as DeChambeau goes, I thought it was interesting. He changed driver heads 20 minutes before he started playing the final round of the U.S. Open. He's changing driver heads, and it didn't help because he only hit 5 fairways, and including that lousy tee shot on 18, about the best shot he hit all day off the tee was on the drivable par 4. But a lot of storylines, and Greg and Epworth, watching Rory choke is always entertaining. That's our text line. One of them.
Yeah. The only thing better than Bryson's bunker shot was watching Johnson Wagner hit it to 2 feet from the same spot. That says 98-96. I do love the fact, and it's kind of turned into a national golf craze, that in these major events, Johnson Wagner, who, as you know, Mark, was a pretty good player for 1 year on the PGA Tour. I mean, he won, 3 events coming out of the chute 1 year? He's a good player. And now it's the big thing in the post-game show where he goes out and tries to recreate the best shot of the most memorable shot of the day. He that was his second shot, by the way, 98-96. The first one, he bladed almost up to the clubhouse. He was worried he was going to hit somebody in there. It was halfway dark, and has no warm-up, and goes out there, and the second one he hits 2 feet. So that was pretty cool. It was great theater. Bryson's second shot on 18 with the stands to the left. He tried to get the temporary immovable object ruling mark. Thankfully for the USGA, they did not give it to him because as soon as he hit it there, I said, oh, he's going to get a drop out of this thing. Did not. He also had a tree behind him that was impeding his backswing. He had even more major was a root. And if you know anything about golf, if you're a golfer, you know that tree roots, that is the worst thing you could possibly have. Because not only does it interfere with your swing, but you can hurt yourself in a big way by hitting a tree root. And he didn't want to hit it in that bunker. He wanted to keep it short, but got too much of it, went into the bunker, and the rest was history.
I thought he might take it unplayable, being up one stroke there and because of the root. But I think it was going in such a direction that DeChambeau avoided it, and he did. And the rest is history.
This is the new and improved Bryson DeChambeau 2.0 as far as his public persona is concerned. There was a time, as most people that follow golf know, that Bryson was thought of as a little bit standoffish. And he has brought in, as you mentioned, a team not only to help his game, because he is the mad professor. I mean, you could wrap your head around what Bryson DeChambeau is trying to do with his golf equipment, and it would, you know, your head could explode in about 30 minutes because he has a formula for everything. But he also brought in people to help his public persona, especially after joining the LIV Tour. And it has helped. I mean, he was, I arguably would say, the most popular player on the grounds, especially after he got into contention. The USA chants, I will say that you're not a real golf fan if you were yelling USA, USA after Rory missed his putt, because that's just not right. But I digress. Bryson has really, really helped himself. And did he help the LIV Tour yesterday? Did he help the two tours? They are together. We know that. We've also heard there's an agreement already in place. It has not been talked about in the public. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to see LIV Tour players back on the PGA Tour, but I don't think that anything that Bryson did by winning and the way he interacted with the people at Pinehurst did anything to at least injure that yesterday, Mark.
No, not at all. And I wonder a couple things. What will DeChambeau's staying power be here in the U.S. when he's playing on the LIV Tour? I understand LIV plays some events in the United States, but it's not like he's going to be at the several events around America on the PGA Tour. And I think his social media will help in that regard. What's his staying power in terms of being able to contend in championships? You know, Brooks Koepka was the thing. Won five majors real quickly and hasn't been much of a factor since. And the second thing is, what will happen to Rory from here?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to recover from that. Many golfers will, you know, they miss a putt, they go on to the next tee and move on and maybe make a birdie, what have you. You're talking about losing the U.S. Open, or at least having a chance to get into a playoff. And how long will it take him to get over that? He'll have to talk about it at some point. I just wonder how much, you know, the guy hasn't won a major in 10 years, may never win another one. What's this mean for the rest of his career?
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Yeah. How does Rory bounce back? He is scheduled to play at the Travelers this week, which is the final big event as far as the non-majors on the PGA Tour. He is scheduled to be there. I would imagine he will be there. Look, Rory knew the questions he was going to get. And is that an excuse to leave? No. But I will say this, Mark, and you know it as well, and golf people know it as well. There was a certain former number one 2 decades ago when he did not play well or things didn't go well. He didn't go to the media availabilities either. So before you toss that out, Tiger didn't go to the media availabilities a lot when he didn't play well or things didn't go well either. That's just the way it is. 62-30, the referee that I am noticed, the root actually got scraped barely as some skin on the root was taken off, hence why his ball went to the right and into the trap. The rest of this history. And thanks for listening every day. Do appreciate that. Yeah, he took some of that root out. I don't know how he was going to miss it, and he didn't miss it. And that's what caused that. As strong as Bryson DeChambeau is, he did not beat the tree root on that one.
No, but he won the tournament, and that's a testament to him. And I just watch him in the scores tent, just anticipating his card to be officially certified, and walking around and pacing and pointing to murals on the wall, and just was very gracious to Matthew Pavon, his playing partner that day, and. I really think it's genuine. Maybe it's just coming to the surface now and him feeling more comfortable, you know, with fans and social media and YouTube and whatnot. But remember, we're not going to see him on tour.
We're not going to see him again till Troon next month at the Open Championship, the final major of the year. And he will be there, and he has had a great major run this year, even better than Scottie Scheffler's, even better than Xander Schauffele's, the two winners of the earlier majors. Let's go to this, Gene and Vinton. My opinion is the fact that Bryson isn't on the Olympic team is a disgrace. That was a lot of the talk last night, Mark. Not so much about the Olympic team. That is fresh in everyone's minds right now. He is not going to be representing the United States of America. Wyndham Clark is on that team. Wyndham Clark did win one of the signature events earlier on this year, won the U.S. Open last year. You got four very good players on the Olympic team. But perhaps the top player in the majors of the year, who is an American, is not on the team. That goes back to the great debate. Once you signed your name on the dotted line with the public investment fund, you gave up, as of the moment anyway, until something changes, your ability to play on a Ryder Cup team or a President's Cup team or on an Olympic team, as well as some of the majors if you are not qualified via the different ways that they have for qualification. A lot of people want to see that changed right now. And that's the great debate. That's the great debate that is out there. Was it helped? I got to think it was helped yesterday by Bryson winning and the way that he interacted with the crowd throughout the weekend and with the trophy afterwards.
And the world golf rankings determine who's eligible and who's not. And obviously, Bryson and the many others on the LIV Tour do not accumulate world ranking points on that tour. That's a source of great debate. And perhaps one of the things that LIV and the PGA Policy Board are discussing in their ever-ongoing talks. But maybe this will pave the way for Jim Furyk to select DeChambeau on the President's Cup team.
There is talk that the PGA, or the PGA Tour, I should say, and the Public Investment Fund are looking into buying the rights of the Ryder Cup away from the PGA of America. And if that's the case, then yes, you will see Bryson DeChambeau on the Ryder Cup team. I'm not sure that's going to happen in time or circumstances going in motion to have him on the President's Cup team. If you know, if you're not a golf fan, the Ryder Cup team is the Europe and Great Britain versus America. President's Cup is America versus the rest of the world. So Canada, South Africa, et cetera, et cetera. Those people will be on that particular team. But I don't know. Again, I think it's going to end up with the LIV golfers that they're going to have their cake and eat it too. And some of me is not really for that, but I think it is coming down the line.
Yeah, what you know, choose a side you want to stand on. You're going to be firm about these LIV players making a choice and giving up the PGA, giving up on the PGA Tour for whatever reason, or you want the best 12 players in America on your team, regardless if they play on LIV, the PGA Tour, or anywhere.
I think we're going to see the LIV Tour. I think a lot would be helped if the LIV Tour went to 72 holes and got rid of the, you know, the shotgun start. They went to 72 holes. I think that you would see a lot of things get taken care of. Still playing 54 holes and still playing shotgun, which brings you, before we get to a break here, to another point, and that is, some people over the weekend infuriated Mark with Brandel Chambly and his commentary on NBC, saying that he was very, very anti Bryson DeChambeau because Brandel has been an outspoken advocate of the PGA Tour and has been very much against the LIV Tour and the LIV golfers on Golf Channel, which is a part of and owned by NBC. And Brandel Chambly, of course, was the lead commentator for NBC over the weekend. Listen, I noticed a bias in there as well. There was no doubt in my mind that Brandel Chambly was pulling for Rory McIlroy in that event yesterday. He covered it up at times, but you could tell Mark in his commentary that he did not want Bryson, I think, to win that thing.
No, and Chambly, pretty full of himself, I think. When you get down to brass tacks, he probably overanalyzes things with all of his statistics, but he's got a tremendous memory and history of golf. But he's had a burr in his saddle, so to speak, about the LIV Tour ever since players started going there. Didn't matter whether it was DeChambeau or anybody else. If you've listened to him often enough, he's very critical of those players. And, you know, to his credit, he's standing his ground, I guess.
0818 asking the question, does Europe let LIV players on the Ryder Cup? No. There were no LIV players on the Ryder Cup teams when they were in Rome last year when Zach was down there captaining the United States team.
Rom wasn't on it
at that point. Yeah. Yeah, Rom joined LIV just ahead of the tour starting the season this year going to Kapalua. So, yeah, there was not a LIV player on either squad. All right, 3:53. We'll take a break, come back. We'll wrap things up for you on a Monday edition of the Gym Class, let you know what's coming up later on this week. We'll do that when we return here on KGYM.
Don't just pave it to last with Paid Asphalt Systems. We're celebrating 40 years of providing residential, commercial, and industrial asphalt services. Whether you need asphalt paving, repairs, cracked ceiling, seal coating, or parking lot striping, Paid Asphalt are the pavement specialists to get the job done. You can expect honest advice and detailed estimates. Visit PaidAsphalt.com for your next paving project. Pave it to last with Paid Asphalt.
What will you write in that email? The one admitting you've been hacked? Today, your clients trust you. You still have time. So call Network Computer Solutions for a network security scan. This highly specialized process detects security gaps in your network, and NCS provides recommendations to close them. Do everything you can today so your business never has to write that email. Call NCS for a network security scan at 319-247-7223.
Back with you to wrap things up at 3:54 on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. And coming up tomorrow, we will talk some Major League Baseball as Cal Eldred will join us here on the program. Always looking forward to what Cal has to say. Coming up on Wednesday, it'll be Caddy Smack in the gym class, and we will have Carson Shockey on with us. Fresh off his U.S. Open appearance, Brian Haas will join us for that coming up here in the studio. And we got game five. Does the NBA season end tonight, Mark?
I have to think so with the Celtics at home, but getting beat by 38 the last time out maybe plants a seed, as it does for Florida against Edmonton. Edmonton whipping them 8-1. It's got to create a little bit of doubt, but I think Boston will get it done.
And Bobrovsky will be back. He will be back for the Florida Panthers. I think that will get finished tomorrow as well. I think Boston wins this thing tonight. I think they're going to celebrate on their home court. Bob Cousy will be relieved. Everything will be A-OK in Beantown coming up this evening. So we'll, by the way, we'll talk with Bob Herrig coming up on Thursday, fresh off the U.S. Open and getting into the first round of the final signature event at the Travelers. So looking forward to talking with Bob. He had some great insight over the weekend as well. Speaking of baseball, is that a final yet, by the way, in Omaha?
It is. Florida has defeated North Carolina State 5-4 and has knocked the Wolfpack out of the tournament.
Wolfpack are out as far as the World Series is concerned. And interestingly enough, on ESPN, before we took the air at 3 o'clock, they were chatting about the famous Jell-O shot competition that is going on in Omaha at Rocco's. And Tennessee is running away with it right now. Cannot confirm nor deny if that has anything to do with a certain radio host in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Not surprised in the least.
Just throwing it out there. He may be influencing people from his radio residence in Knoxville to the Vol Nation in Omaha. We will talk baseball tomorrow with Cal Eldred. Which team has the biggest lead right now as far as a division in the majors, Mark? This might surprise you.
Seattle Mariners.
The Seattle Mariners are up 8.5 games over the Texas Rangers. They are the only team in the American League West that is over 500. So some Seattle. Now, they've played the White Sox on a couple of occasions there, which helped out. But Seattle, good starting pitching. Mariners got three really solid starters, and they are looking good in the Pacific Northwest. All right, Mark, good job. We will talk with you coming up tomorrow, and we'll maybe have an NBA champion, and we'll talk some baseball with Cal tomorrow.
All right. Talk to you later, guys.
You bet, and we will talk with you, Isaac, coming up tomorrow as well. Enjoy the soccer.
I always do.
All right. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on KGYM. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Have a great night.
The light is fading, your hands are sore, and the last tool has been put away. Now is the time to feel the satisfaction that